Hi, I'm Leah Lane, an award-winning travel writer and author of Places I Remember, Tales, Truths, Delights from 100 Countries. On this podcast, we share conversations with travelers about fascinating destinations and memorable experiences around the world. I've never met a traveler who didn't love New Zealand. It's in the southwestern Pacific to the east of Australia, about a 16-hour flight from the west coast of the United States. New Zealand consists of a north and a south island, and more than 700 smaller islands. The original inhabitants were Maoris, and their culture remains an important element. Our guest is Mark Everhard, who's joining us from Auckland, New Zealand. He's managing director of the Adrenaline Group, a bespoke New Zealand Pacific destination management company. About a dozen years ago, Mark was my guide in New Zealand, and I spent several memorable weeks with him researching all around the country for an upscale magazine. Welcome, Mark. It's wonderful to speak with you again.
Leah, thank you so much for having me on your show. It's so nice to be here.
Well, New Zealand is one of my favorite countries. As a New Zealander, can you tell us what you think makes it special?
I think that we're very lucky in New Zealand. We're at the edge of the world and we only have a very small population. We're a very young country, and then we have two big islands. Well, not big in terms of the world, but big for our population. And they say as you travel through New Zealand, the scenery changes every 20 minutes. So they say that you have all the different types of scenery in New Zealand, what you have in the rest of the world. A lot of it on a smaller scale, of course. But there's the other nice thing about New Zealand is that there's nothing that can hurt you. So you can really play in nature. It's not a country where you just have to look at the nature, but you can actually get out there and experience it. So it means for those people traveling here, there's just a huge amount of variety.
Are there snakes? I forgot.
No snakes. You have to
okay.
go.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you told me that. I'm glad to hear that's still true. I also have to say the people are wonderful. I know there's a law that it's a crime to harm an animal. Any country that can have a law like that tells you a lot about the people. And that's one of the best parts of New Zealand. I know you don't want to say that, but I'm telling others that that's one of the best parts. And also tell us about the Maori culture.
As indigenous people, the Maori are probably some of the most empowered indigenous people in the world. When the British settled here, the Maoris were very good sort of at fighters and communications and were well organised. So the British set up a treaty in 1840 with the Maori people called the Treaty of Waitangi. So under this treaty, the Maori people have a lot of rights, and a lot of the injustices that have been done against them have been able to be put right in a court of law. So, you know, there is a lot of respect in New Zealand for the Maori culture, and they add a tremendous amount to our country.
I remember when you took me up to Cape Ringa, where the Maori spirits are said to leap off on their final journey across the rough waters. And then you also took me to a beautiful forest. Is it pronounced Waipoua Forest?
That's right.
And I stood face to face with Tane Mahuta, the world's largest kauri tree, approximately 2,000 years old and still growing. I remember it was called the Lord of the Forest, and it felt like that. It was early evening, I think, when we went. We had to take off our shoes and walk into the forest. There were just a half a dozen of us, and it was like a cathedral in nature. It was one of the most beautiful experiences I ever had. A young man was chanting to the trees. I really felt the power of his culture. I thank you for that one. It's a very wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, I always like to think, you know, there's a few lessons always that stay with me from the Maori people. And that's that they always look backwards before they look forwards. They always look to the past, and then they look to the future. Amazing orators. They sort of talk everything through to get to a decision where a community agrees before they move forward. So, yeah, a lot of lessons for New Zealanders.
Absolutely.
From people.
There's a place called Gisborne. I didn't go there, but I hear it's the first place in the world that you can see the sunrise. So I imagine on New Year's Day, it must be very popular, but it also has many Maori carvings and culture. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's lots of tribes and sub-tribes right the way through New Zealand. mainly in the North Island because it's a little bit warmer than what it was in the South Island. But yes, lots of carvings.
Let me ask you about some suggestions of where to stay in New Zealand. I was writing for an upscale magazine, so I got to stay at a fabulous string of inns as we traveled through the two islands. But what about budget travel and camping and such? What are the options there?
Yeah, absolutely. There's fantastic campgrounds right the way through New Zealand. So a third of New Zealand is national park. And we have a Department of Conservation, and they're responsible for a lot of the campgrounds throughout the country. And there's also some more commercial campgrounds, but they're of a very, very high standard. And then we have a really good camper van network. You can come to New Zealand, you can hire a camper van, and you can self-drive your way through staying at these campgrounds. And also there's freedom camping, which is a lot of fun.
What is freedom camping?
It means you can just park up on the side of the road and be self-sufficient.
Well, that's nice. What about rental houses? Are they
Yes. Yeah, we have Airbnb and we have some lovely websites called Book a Batch or New Zealand Holiday Homes. So you can go and find homes or holiday homes that New Zealanders have and you can book them yourself.
What's the best time of year to visit, would you say?
Well, the summer months tend to be from November through to April. But New Zealand is also a fantastic place to visit during the winter months. And the reason being is there's just less people visiting. So you have just more personal space as you travel. But the compromise is it's a little bit colder.
Yeah, I should say the seasons are opposite of those that are above the countries above the equator. I was there in November and I remember the twin spring lambs were so cute. There were purple lupins everywhere. It was really spring in November. That was kind of fun. Anyway, let's take a quick tour around New Zealand, focusing on what you think we shouldn't miss. Let's start with the North Island. It's known for national parks, the Maori culture, cosmopolitan cities, the Lord of the Rings. And it's home to about three quarters of New Zealand's population. The scenery is less dramatic than the South Island, but it's still stunning. There are volcanic cone-shaped mountains and golden beaches and springs and hills and forests and gorges. And there are two wonderful major cities on the North Island. Let's start with Auckland, country's largest city, where most travelers from around the world will arrive and alas depart. And it's your hometown, so tell us about it, Mark.
Yeah, Auckland's called the City of Sails, and it's home to almost 1.5 million people. So a third of our population live here in Auckland. It's made up of 26 suburbs, all with their own sort of personality and flavour. And it has 102 beaches, 48 volcanic cones. And it really is. It's a wonderful place to live. And then you can choose at any particular time as a New Zealander anyway to get away for the weekend and you leave a third of the population behind and the rest of the country kind of becomes an amazing playground for you.
Yeah, everybody loves to play in New Zealand. I know you can bungee jump from a skyscraper. Is that still true in Auckland?
Now it's the Harbour Bridge in Auckland, which connects the north and, well, yeah, the North Shore and the city side. Yeah.
Is that even higher?
Probably is, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you do it?
I have done it. It's a lot of fun. But well, Queenstown's really, really the home of bungee
jumping. Really? Okay. That wasn't there when I was there. I enjoyed sailing. I went that far. I went on a boat in the beautiful bay there, the Bay of Islands. And I know that nearby Auckland, there are vineyards and there are beaches, as you mentioned. You can go on wine tours and all kinds of wonderful things. Tell me about Wellington, another city in the North Island. It's a capital city of New Zealand.
Yeah, it's a lot more cosmopolitan than Auckland. You can come into the city and you can walk around the whole city. It's where the big decisions get made. And it's a very arty city as well. It's got fantastic markets, theatres, restaurants, cafes. Yeah, very cosmopolitan.
I remember the coffee. They were very big on coffee. It reminded me of Seattle with the emphasis on baristas. Is that still true?
Absolutely. The coffee and just the whole scene, the whole food scene down there is amazing.
Yeah, also, tell me as far as food, tell me about what would be some traditional New Zealand pleasures in the cuisine department.
Well, we're very lucky in New Zealand. We're like one big farm, and we export a lot of what we produce. For instance, we export 95% of the dairy that we produce. We start with the seafood. We've got beautiful fish. Probably the most famous fish we have here is the red snapper. And then we have the lobsters, the oysters, the mussels, scallops. We have a delicacy called whitebait, which is a tiny little fish that you have in an egg batter. So super lucky in terms of the seafood. And then we also have very good proteins, the beef, the lamb, venison. We farm venison here. and it's a beautiful meat. And then obviously there is a lot of fruit and vegetables as well.
Delicious. So everything's
super fresh.
And the wine that goes with it is super delicious. You've got vineyards all about both islands, and I know that you're known for your, when we get to the South Island, the Sauvignon Blanc, but very good wine as well. And a beer scene, I hear.
Yes, absolutely. More and more boutique. At any one time, there's 1 million New Zealanders. There's only ever been 7 million New Zealanders. So at any one time, there's 1 million New Zealanders traveling overseas, and they tend to pick up and learn a lot when they're traveling, and then they bring it back to New Zealand. And we're very entrepreneurial here. So there's a lot of creativity and boutique food offerings.
What are some of your favorite things to see and do on the North Island?
I love the beaches. Like on the West Coast, there's beautiful black sand beaches and native bush. And then on the East Coast, there's a lot of white sand beaches. So for me personally, I really love to walk along the beaches or go surfing or windsurfing or snorkeling, and it's really the beaches that I love. I also love mountain biking and hiking, and there's just fantastic regional parks and areas for all of those sort of outdoor sports, and lakes. There's beautiful lakes as well.
Just about everything.
Very lucky.
Very lucky. Tell me about Hobbiton. Everybody who likes the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit trilogies wants to know about that. So tell us a little what that is.
Yeah, it's like a little mini Disneyland, but of Hobbiton. You walk in there and they have a pristine movie set, and it's just a fantastic place to be, especially if you're a fan of the movies.
Right. Now, I'm a fan of Rotorua because it has wonderful geothermal springs. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, it's an area that has 14 lakes. It has beautiful forests. The redwood forest is a must-see when you're down there. And then it has all the geothermal activity with the tectonic plates being quite close to the Earth's surface. And then it has a huge amount of Māori culture as well. So it's just one of those places that there is just so much on offer.
I remember Huka Falls. I know there are many waterfalls, but that one was a really big one and very impressive.
We have a lake called Lake Taupo, which is the size of Singapore, and it only has one river that flows out of it, which is the Waikato River. So it comes out of this big lake and then cascades down the Huka Falls. So it's a great sight just because of the sheer volume of water that's flowing through it.
Tell me about the limestone caves and the special thing that you can find in there that I didn't get to see for some reason, but I have to come back to New Zealand to see it.
The stalactites and tites and glowworms.
The glowworms, right.
The glowworms, yes. Yeah. Yeah, actually, you can find those in quite a few places throughout New Zealand. The Waitomo Caves is really of a large size with many glowworms, but there's also, you can see glowworms in other places as well.
What do they look like? Do they look like stars?
Yeah, like stars. If you look up at the ceiling, it's like these little stars looking back at you.
I heard you can take a black water rafting trip through the subterranean waterways. That sounded very interesting to me.
Yeah, you can do a big abseil to get to your tubes that you go black water rafting through. Yeah, it's a great family experience.
I remember we frisbeed kind of down sand dunes to a river that had some quicksand in it. Where was that?
Oh, that was right up at the top of the North Island where the spiritual pathway was. But they have some big sand dunes up there, and you can get on little toboggans and slide down the hills.
That was fun.
A lot of fun doing that.
Is there really quicksand in the river? It scared me. I guess there are.
There are some sort of quicksand, but nothing to worry about. Not sort of quicksand, but yeah, just a little bit boggy and softer. Yeah.
Okay, well, it sounds like there's lots to do on the North Island, and we have a lot to do in the South Island as well. So let's go there. You can get to the South Island by helicopter, plane, or boat, I gather. Is there any other way to get there?
Yeah, from Wellington, you can catch the ferry over if you're driving. Otherwise, we have a really good airline network throughout the country, so you can fly. And for those that are a little bit more adventurous, yes, you can also take a chopper.
Take a chopper. I think I took a chopper.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Well, the South Island is, without exaggerating, one of the most beautiful areas on Earth. There's wildlife, wineries, glacial valleys, beaches, fjords, and you can take a spectacular road trip all the way down the long mountainous island. And there are two small cities. Tell us about Christchurch.
Yeah, Christchurch is the one that went through the earthquake a number of years ago now, so it's on the rebuild. So I think a really exciting place to visit because it's been rebuilt. It's going to be a very, very modern city. So I think just lots and lots of exciting things happening in Christchurch.
I heard it has a lot of street art and a thriving foodie scene. So it sounds like a very up and coming, happening place.
They said it was more English than England. So it has beautiful gardens and rivers flowing through it. So yeah, and I think now it's going to be that combined with a very modern city.
Yeah, it's a beautiful little city. And then there's Queenstown, which is set on the water like a jewel among the aptly named Remarkable Mountains. That's the real name. It's mainly a base for hikers and the fjords, but is there something else we should know about Queenstown?
Absolutely. So really, Queenstown is the jewel. It's truly our international destination. And you can do every sort of adventure activity there, from jet boating to parachuting to your hiking, your mountain biking, skiing, snowboarding, you name it, you can do it down there. Fantastic. Fishing. So it's really the place when people come to New Zealand, they spend a little bit longer than anywhere else, just because there's so much to do there.
How long do you think a person should leave if they want to see both islands? I know many people feel they're only going to be able to go one time. So what would be the perfect sweet spot if you had the time to do it? What would be your estimate?
I think people mainly coming from the US, from my experience, they sort of had 10 days. And 10 days, you know, you can see a lot, but I think 14 would be better. If you can take a few more days and you're coming a long way, so I think 14 would be ideal.
I would say it's a minimum. I would say if you could take more, it's even better. But yeah, 14 would be the minimum. Tell me about the fjords of the South Island, the gorgeous fjords.
Yeah, from Queenstown and, you know, some of the neighbouring towns, you can access the fjords, and it's World Heritage National Park there. And they're just big mountains, completely pristine. And then you have the fjords that come in from the ocean. So you can take a boat trip into the fjords. Often there's dolphins in there. I've seen whales. Absolutely breathtaking scenery.
Well, I went, the time I went, it was raining, and I heard that it rains quite a bit. That's why it's so beautiful. And a group ahead of me, that I remember they were Germans, and they were so angry that it was raining that they canceled their trip. But what happened when I was on this trip was, it was an overnight cruise on Milford Sound. And I remember it was especially beautiful because the rain caused hundreds and hundreds of waterfalls all around. It was so special. In fact, I got wet in my cabin because they took us close to the waterfall. It was a lot of fun. I didn't mind it one bit. We saw fairy penguins, these tiny little penguins. It was magical. And I felt so sorry for those people, you know, who canceled, because sometimes rain is good.
I agree. I've been in there on beautiful sunny days. I've been in there when it's snowing. I've been in there when it's raining, with the waterfalls. And every time it's different, and every time it offers something magical.
Well, Milford Sound is the most famous. How about Doubtful Sound? Is that different?
Doubtful Sound, you can do an overnight on Doubtful Sound as well. So Doubtful Sound is even more slower paced and relaxed.
So both. You recommend both, if you can.
I think you only need to do one.
Right.
And then if you've got a little bit more time, I would recommend you do Doubtful Sound. If you've got a little bit less time, then I think Milford Sound.
Uh-huh. It's really the beauty spot of the country, that area. Well, the name of the podcast is Places I Remember. So, Mark, how about a special travel memory about your beautiful country?
Well, as a guide for me, my memories are mainly of people. And just, you know, if I close my eyes and think about, you know, it would, for me, what would come up is when I meet people, when they arrive and when I meet them, when they leave, it would be just seeing a husband and wife, you know, in a beautiful place, but reach over and hold each other's hand. So for me, I just think New Zealand has so much intrinsic goodness that you don't, it's hard to talk about, but when you come here, you get to experience it. And I think it's the same with the people. So my memories are all just really, really, you know, energetically around the people.
And I think what you're talking about is especially important today, when so much is going on in the world. It's just one of those places you can go to and feel better when you leave. Thank you so much, Mark Everhart, an outstanding spokesperson for your country. I would love to return to New Zealand. I hope my listeners get to go, and I hope it isn't another dozen years before I see you again. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leah. And I absolutely loved the time that we spent together here in New Zealand. I hope you're going to come back as well. And I would love to play my part any way I can for any
that's,
of
that's your, a very enticing offer. I hope I can do it. Thanks so much. If you have questions or comments about the podcast or any of our episodes, please contact me at placesiremember.leahlane.com. And if you follow the podcast and write a review, take a screenshot and send it to me at one of my links. You'll find it in the show notes or on my website. You can win a signed copy of my latest travel book, Places I Remember, and I'll read your review and mention you on the podcast. Thanks for listening to our award-winning podcast. We've recorded over 100 episodes of Places I Remember, so follow us on any podcast app. And new monthly episodes are also on YouTube with gorgeous video. My book, Places I Remember, is available in print and Kindle, and I read the audio version. Follow my travel writing at Forbes.com. Contact me at the links in the show notes or on my website, placesiremember.leahlane.com, and keep making your own travel memories.